From Wondery, I'm Philippa Sue, and this is Little Stories Everywhere. Each episode will bring you stories for kids that spark the imagination, take you to other worlds, and bring joy. This story is called Under the Water.
Hey, grown-ups! Do you ever want to whisk your family away on a fun and exhilarating adventure? What if we helped you make it a possibility every single week? And from the comfort of your home, car, or wherever you are. It's the Cat in the Hat Cast, a weekly podcast presented by our partners at Purina. Your pet, our passion. Fill your week with sing-alongs, laughter, and a pinch of mayhem as you spend time with the oh-so-mischievous Cat in the Hat and his cautious pal, Fish. Tune in with the whole family, including your furriest friends, because when we spend time together, the fun never ends. You'll never guess what surprises the Cat in the Hat will pull out of his hat next. Follow the Cat in the Hat Cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the dark of my closed eyelids, I see a silvery light. It's moving. The light thickens and turns to face me. 9 noses flaring. Dark black eyes glistening from above. Whiskers flowing from either side of its face, like an old woman's hair in water. I think it's a snake. Then it dawns on me. No, this is a dragon. When I open my eyes, I feel the bright rays of the summer sun. The fishing pole in my hand curves into the water. A weight pulls at the line. My reel gives. I jerk the fishing pole back with my right hand. My left stills the reel, holding fast to its handle. The summer flowers bloom among the underbrush of the tall trees behind me. All I hear is the water rushing. I look for my father along the bank of the Mississippi River. He's nowhere to be found. Father! Father! Where are you? Before I see him, I hear him. I'm here. My father, a short man with straight shoulders, walks quickly toward me. He is excited. I've caught a fish. So am I. I focus on the sound of my father's voice, his steady directions. Walk slowly backward. Reel it in slowly. Keep the line taut. Hold your pole higher. Breathe through it. Feel its power. Respect it. Later, we are in a small clearing not far from the riverbank. My father crouches, his knees bent. He blows into a small fire under a makeshift grill. On top, a catfish cooks. My catfish. The rising smoke from the fire stings my eyes. Fishing is the best thing in the world. Nia is missing out. My father looks at me through the smoke. Your mother doesn't like being near the water. You know this. Is it because so many Hmong people died in the crossing of the Mekong River to get away from the war? I'm sure that has something to do with it. My father clears his throat. The lines that fan out from his eyes make him look like an old man. Do you know that your grandmother was taken by a river dragon shortly after your mother was born? I have never heard this story before. My father uses 2 sticks to turn the catfish on the makeshift grill and clears his throat again. When he speaks, his voice is soft, his words patient and slow. In the old days, there were dragons underneath the water, in the rivers, the lakes. The dragons were powerful and feared, but they were also lonely creatures. Women, men, children, all were warned not to get too close to any body of water because the dragons were always on the lookout for companions. All it took was a single strand of fallen hair, a droplet of spit, a thread from a shirt, or a pair of pants. Once one of these things fell into the water, the dragon would know your scent. It would be able to follow you home, enter your dreams, and take you away. When your grandmother had her first newborn child, she had soiled baby wraps to wash. There were no diapers in those days. Your grandfather had told her he would go with her to wash them, and the clothes. But he needed to tend to the buffaloes in the field first. Your grandmother could not wait, so she strapped her baby to her back, made her way toward the river at the edge of their village. I take a seat on the ground as my father continues the story. Dusk was settling in. A high wind was blowing. Strands of her hair had come undone from its bun at her back. At first, she crouched on the edge of a flat rock and tried to use a pail to fetch water from the river. Afraid that the child at her back would topple into the water if she knelt too low, she decided to step fully into the water and placed both her feet on the smooth stones. She washed the soiled wraps one at a time. She was on her second rinse when she saw a strange ripple of water coming toward her. It moved against the current in an arc. When it got closer, she saw a shadow in the water, thick and long, moving slowly toward her. She backed onto the shore, the wraps heavy in her hands. She said she heard a sound like a human voice, deep and strong, call out her name.
Shua, Shua.
She stuffed the wet wraps in the pail and hurried home. Her baby, your mother, remained asleep on her back. That night, she felt a chill at bedtime. I interrupt and ask my father if the story is true, but my father continues. The next day, she spoke of a dream. A white stallion came to their doorway and stood looking at her. Its eyes were warm and inviting. When she reached her hands for the stallion, it walked closer. If she wanted to, she was certain she could touch it, ride it, even. She said it was the most beautiful dream she'd ever had. She didn't have much of an appetite, but made a meal for her husband. She spent most of the day holding her baby close. She sat on a wooden stool beneath the overhang of the thatched roof, staring off toward the river. When your grandfather interrupted her quiet time, it seemed she was waking up. In the coming days, she didn't have much of an appetite. But she continued to make meals for her husband, your grandfather. As time passed, she grew pale. She refused food or water. She could only talk about the smooth softness of the stallion's coat in her dream. She talked of how it knelt for her to climb onto the curve of its back. She talked of how together they sailed through the wind as if they were underwater, buoyant and free. My father stares into the distance for only a moment before continuing. A shaman, the greatest healer in their village, was called to perform a ceremony, to try and bring your grandmother's appetite back, to heal her. But after the shaman was done, she said to the family, "It's too late. Her spirit has gone. She has been taken." That following morning, your grandfather discovered that your grandmother had died in the night. All who went to her funeral said your grandmother's beauty was not diminished by death. In fact, it seemed her skin itself glowed with a light from within. When my father is done with the story, the fish is fully cooked. He takes it off the flames. The light of the day disappears in the west. Beneath the trees, we are shadows, my father and me. Around us, I hear the sound of the crickets chirping and the frogs croaking from the river. I feel the presence of the pesky evening flies. My father wraps up the fish. He pours a pail of water over the fire. He gestures for me to carry our fishing poles. We get home to my mother and our little house. She is at the round table waiting for us. She looks tired beneath the yellow glow of the light on the top of the table. She set out parts of our dinner. A big bowl of freshly steamed rice, green vegetables and broth. My father unpacks the grilled fish. He tells her, "Pua caught it." My mother pats my head with light fingers. She tells me to go and wash my hands for dinner. The three of us eat quietly. The smoky fish is delicious with the warm rice and broth. That night, I have a dream. I see myself once again at the bank of the Mississippi River. I feel the chill of the night air against my bare arms. The river is clouded in a thick white fog. I see a beautiful young woman. Her hair glints beneath the full moon above us. She rises from the water. In the dream, I know she is my grandmother. I'm not afraid of her. There is a light in her eyes that warms me from within. She floats toward me. My feet walk toward her. I feel the waterline. The cool liquid covers my feet. It rises up to my knees. It soaks my nightdress. I walk further into the river. With each step, I am sinking into an inviting bath. I meet her waist deep in the river. My arms reach for an embrace. She is as real as flesh and blood. Her arms are gentle around me, giving. Her garments are darker than the water around us in the night. The fabric feels soft and dry, smooth and fine. I lift my head up to look at her face. In the moonlight, I see my mother's high cheekbones. My mother's soft, full lips. I see my questions reflected in her gaze. She shakes her head slowly, smiles, and says in a voice full of wonder that speaks to me,
"You are just like her, and she is like me. I've followed her, hoping for a glance, a meeting. I've followed her across oceans and up rivers, chased her through time, and I've waited for you, too."
I am nodding in the dream. I understand that she has longed for my mother and me. I'm also shaking my head. I see my father alone in a life without us. I push to the surface from the watery world. I open my eyes to the darkness of my room, the hum of the electricity in our house. I pull the cover up to my chin. Has there been a part of me that has also been waiting for her? Waiting for this moment? A pull that has brought me to seek water all my life. The next day, I am wistful. It is a feeling I've never had before. It is not like my usual loneliness. I have no brothers or sisters, no other child to play with. It is a quiet feeling of preoccupation. There is a sense that I am not quite where I'm supposed to be. At dinner that night, I ask my parents, "How do you overcome the pull of a dragon?" "What?" my mother says. "Are you okay, Pua?" my father asks. I tell them, "I'm fine. Can you tell me how to overcome the pull of a dragon?" "I haven't a clue," my mother says. My father then tells me there are no dragons in America. I lift my eyes from the uneaten food on my plate. The single scoop of rice on its edge, the wilted mustard greens and piece of boiled pork at its center. I am not hungry. My father tells me to eat my dinner. In my room, on my bed, beneath my cover, I try to hide from sleep. I look out my window. The curtains are drawn and the night enters. The sky is a deep blue. The moon is round and full as an orange. The stars are fine points of light against the blanket of darkness. The clouds move like slow waves across the far expanse. I try not to fall asleep. Still, sleep finds me. In the dream, we are sitting on the edge of the Mississippi River again, our feet dangling in the river. There is a woman beside me, as familiar as my mother. She wants to know who I am. She does not ask many questions about my father. I tell her anyway. She listens patiently. There is a slight smile on her face. It is unchanging. I know I can talk to her forever. She would listen forever. I like the sound of my voice beside the sound of the river. Then I wake up to the sound of my own voice. I am speaking aloud, saying, I love my father. I love my father. I love my father. He loves me. He loves me. Together, we love my mother. We are loved by her. It isn't perfect, but it is enough. At breakfast the next morning, the food before me has no life, no aroma, no taste. At lunch, my mother and my father want to know what else I want to do with them before the summer is over, before school starts. I shrug. All the time in the world would not be enough. I tell them, I just want to be with you two. Later, at dinner, although I'm not hungry, I eat a few bites of food. My mother says, in the light of this lamp, you seem to glow. My father agrees with her. That night, I know I will fight my grandmother in my dreams. I want to be with my mother and father, but she will try to pull me into the river with her. That night before I go to sleep, I get my fishing pole from the garage. I hook my evening gown with a sharp hook. I hold fast the pole and reel it in. Sleep comes. The dream comes. I am fishing for myself. I'm once again at the bank of the great Mississippi River, but I am also in the river, underneath the water. She is all around me. In the water, the air, the very earth. I realize dragons are powerful because they are all around us. They have always been, and they always will be. It is when they get inside of us that the world we belong to and the world they belong to become the same. I make a decision. I don't want to belong to that world, not without the two people who need me most. I jerk my pole high. I still my reel. I keep the line taut. I breathe as I pull, slowly, respectfully, earnestly. I pull for everything I am. In the dark of my closed lids, I see 9 noses flaring, dark black eyes glistening from above, whiskers flowing from either side of its face like an old woman's hair in water. I don't turn away. I face it. For a minute, it faces me. The temperature of the water between us goes up. Just when I think I will burn, it moves. It turns away. It goes further and further away from me. It becomes silvery light. I'm exhausted when I wake up. But I wake up, my hands tight around my fishing pole. I wake with the knowledge that dragons exist in America, too. And that I have met the one that lives in the Mississippi River. And it is not my grandmother, but it knows that I yearn for her.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Little Stories Everywhere ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids and Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is Little Stories Everywhere. This is Under the Water, written by Cal Kalia Yang. I'm your host, Philippa Sue. Brian White is our associate producer. Audio assistance by Sergio Enriquez. This episode is sound designed by Kyle Randall. Our story editor is Matt Wise. Our senior producer is Sochi Dorsey. Executive producers are Janine Cornelot, Stephanie Jens, and Marshall Louie for Wondery.